بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديث number 110، the hadith of Abu Qatada Al-Ansari، may Allah have His blessing on him. May Allah be pleased with him. This hadith, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam says, when any one of you enters the mosque, the masjid, he should observe two rak'ah of nafil prayer before sitting. And this hadith was reported by Imam Muslim in the Sahih. Now this hadith is known to be the hadith of Tahiyyatul Masjid, the greeting of the masjid. However, a proper student of knowledge must be very careful when he uses or selects words. Why? You will never find in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ this terminology, Tahiyyatul Masjid. And this is what made a lot of the people insist on praying two rak'ahs, even if they had prayed Sunnat al-Fajr, for example. We know that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, between Adhan and Iqama of Fajr, you must not pray except two rak'ahs of Sunnah. So if a person does not pray at home, he comes to the masjid. We find people praying two rak'ahs, Tahiyyat al-Masjid, and then two rak'ahs, Sunnat al-Fajr. And this is wrong. Because the Prophet did not say, alayhi salam, you have to specifically pray two rak'ahs as greeting the masjid. He said, you cannot sit before praying two rak'ahs. So any rak'ahs would do, which means that if you pray sunnat al-fajr and sit, this is enough. Not only that, if I come and the prayer has been established, they've called for the fard prayer, and I join them, whether it's dhuhr, asr, maghrib, whatever, and we concluded the prayer, do I have to pray two rak'ahs? No, because I've prayed something that is even greater and bigger. And that is why jurors and fuqaha sometimes say things to make knowledge easier to people. By mistake, those who come behind him think that this is part of the deen. And I give you a clearer example. If you read in any book of fiqh in Arabic, you will find that one of the things that are prohibited for a muhrim to do is to wear al-makhit, is to wear threaded clothes, sewed clothes. So a lot of the people come and ask, Sheikh, what to do? My watch is made of leather and there are threads in it, so I definitely can't take it. My belt has threads in it, so definitely I cannot take it. And I say, where do you get this from? All jurors, all fuqaha say that you cannot wear something with threads. And I say and challenge, did the Prophet ﷺ ever said anything similar to that? You go and research and you come back to me and say, no. So where did the jurors come with this description? They looked at what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. What did the Prophet say? When the Prophet was asked, alayhi salam, what would a muhrim wear? What should he wear? The Prophet did not list a wardrobe where the muhrim should put on. This would have no limitation. Likewise, when someone comes to me and says, what should I eat? I say, you can eat spaghetti, macaroni, pizza. This is Italian. Then if you move to American, you have hamburgers and steaks and so on, meatballs. And if you go to Saudi, there is rice and there is kebab. Would the list ever end? No. But if I answer him in something that is limited, so I say, you should not eat pork, you should not eat dead meat, you should not eat blood, you should not eat something that was not slaughtered properly. End of story. Khalas. Likewise, when the Prophet was asked, what should the muhrim wear? The Prophet said, the muhrim must not wear the turbans, the shirts, the tarawilat or the trousers, the shoes, the baranis, it's something that looks like a shirt with a hood on. So he restricted that into 5 or 6 issues not to be worn by a muhrim. The scholars sat back and thought, what's the common denominator? What's the common denominator? They said, all of these things are stitched. So they use stitching in it, and therefore anything that is stitched is not permissible for a muhrim. This is wrong. If my ihram, the clothes that I wear for ihram, one of them was torn, is there any problem if I stitch it? Not at all. If I bring this big towel and I stitch it as a skirt, is this permissible? It's permissible. The Prophet forbade me from wearing what? Trousers. And the things that may take the same ruling, such as underwears, known as tuban. But other than that, the sky's the limit. So scholars, when they went to this hadith, they said this hadith is regarding tahiyyatul masjid. And they concluded a number of rules and verdicts saying that it is not permissible to sit until you offer tahiyyatul masjid, and tahiyyatul masjid has to be a separate salah, which is not authentic, which is not correct. Now, the hadith of Sulayk al-Ghatafani, when he entered and sat while the Prophet was giving Jum'ah khutbah, he told him, stand up and pray, indicates that it is mandatory. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ was giving the khutbah of the Jum'ah. He would not interrupt the khutbah. And he would not request the companion to go and pray rather than listen to the khutbah, unless it was what? Unless it was mandatory. And this is why scholars differed among them. They said that, okay, what about if the person enters the masjid after Fajr prayer and before sunrise? We know that this is time of prohibition. Also after Asr until the sun sets. We know that this is a time of prohibition. So what happens if a person enters this masjid? Should he abide by the prohibition and not sit, that is not to pray? Or should he follow this instruction to pray? We have two conflicting evidences. What to do, if you remember? First thing, we try to combine. If we're unable, we try to know which one came first, and the latter would be abrogating the first. If unable, we have to see which is stronger and more authentic. One in the Quran, one in the Sunnah, we take the Quran. Two in the Sunnah, one in the Sahih, one in the Sunnah, we take the Sahih. If not, then we stop until we ask and investigate more. Maybe other scholars are able and capable of giving us an answer. Now, also we have a number of rules that made some of the scholars confused, such as, they say, whenever we have two instructions, one saying that this is permissible and one saying that this is forbidden, what do we always take? What is forbidden? We always overrule the prohibition. Why? Because it's always safer. So when they say that, when we have two conflicting instructions, one prohibits and one says it's permissible, say apply the prohibition. And in the hadith here, it is prohibited to pray after Asr until sunset. And the order is telling you to pray before sitting down. So which one should we make forward? Some scholars say we have to take the prohibition. So if I come after Asr, I sit without praying, because praying is prohibited. However, scholars such as Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, such as Ibn Taymiyyah, such as Ibn Al-Qayyim, Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Shaykh Al-Albani, they looked at it from a holistic view. So they tried to combine, which is the highest degree of applying or resolving conflict between evidences. Why? They said, okay, let's look at the prohibition. Do not pray. Is it a general instruction that has no specifics coming out from it, or there are exceptions? They said, no, there are exceptions. Give us example. They said, if the sun eclipse, what to do? Pray. So this is an exception from the prohibition. If we have a funeral prayer, what to do? Pray. So this is an exception from the prohibition. Therefore, the evidence is not general. It has specifics, it has exceptions. Let us look at the instruction. Whenever you come to the masjid, do not sit until you pray two rak'ahs. Does it have any exceptions? Scholars say no. The Prophet said, pray all the way. He did not exempt, he did not specify any exceptions of that. So the scholars say, as long as this, which has exceptions, is conflicting with this that has no exceptions, this prevails. You understand this? So now, what prevails is the hadith that states that whenever you enter a masjid, you should pray two rak'ahs before you sit down. And this tells us that there is no exceptions. Any time of the day or of the night, any time of the week, 24/7, if you enter the masjid, you may not sit down until you pray two rak'ahs. And when you pray these two rak'ahs, make them light and make them quick, especially if they are a time of prohibition. So one comes to the masjid before Maghrib, he prays two rak'ahs of Tahiyyat al-Masjid. He should not take his time, like in 10 minutes, prolong his prostration. No, he should make it as quick as possible. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.